From the Farm Credit Studios, this is On the Farm Radio, rural and agricultural news coming up next. Today's program is made possible in part by the Virginia Farm Show, scheduled for January 15th through the 17th. Full and part-time farmers from all across the eastern United States are expected to attend. There will be exhibits of all the major lines of farm equipment and services. The Virginia Farm Show is January 15th through the 17th at Augusta Expo in Fishersville, Virginia. Information at virginiafarmshow.com.
You're listening to On the Farm Radio with Jeff Ishii.
Well, here we go. Ready or not, we are now officially in the year 2026, and farmers in our region are a little bit anxious about 2026 because 2025 was what some called a tumultuous year in the farm economy. It's my pleasure to welcome to the program this weekend Michael Almond. He is Chief Lending Officer with Farm Credit of the Virginias. Welcome to the program, Michael.
Hi, Jeff. It's great to be with you today. I appreciate it. It's a busy time of the year, so I appreciate you taking the time to let us have a forum and talk more about farming.
Well, Michael, one of the big stories in 2025 was the topic of input cost, what it costs to actually farm. Can you help us refine that definition for our listeners? What are input costs?
Yeah, input cost to the most common person is easy to relate it to inflation. We've heard a lot about inflation over the last couple of years. Everyone has seen the most direct inflation has been interest rates. Everybody knows that you're paying a lot more now for items and goods that you paid for a few years ago. Inflation was at an unhealthy level of 5, 6, 7% just a couple of years ago, and it has leveled off some. But what we saw so far is the farming endeavors, the goods and services that go into the foods we eat, and the fibers we wear have not been as affected and have come back to earth as quickly as other items in the economy. So those goods and services that farmers rely on to produce a product have increased at a more rapid rate than what we've seen in the general economy.
Once again, we're talking with Michael Almond. He is Chief Lending Officer with Farm Credit of the Virginias. And Michael, let's now go ahead and take a look into 2026. What do you want farmers to be aware of, economically speaking?
Well, the first thing I want farmers to know going into 26 that, these ups and downs, the uncertainties, you have a partner. Farm Credit is a partner. We've been around 109 years and privileged to be a part of 28 years. We see those cycles. We see those upward cycles. We talked about, a lot going on, but it's really not that atypical in the farming world. Through 109 years, through my 28 years here, there's ups and down cycles all the time, and Farm Credit is going to be a partner in those ventures. I'd love to see an interest rate decline here. We anticipate another quarter drop there. That sets the stage for 2026 and hopefully some lower interest rates. I talked earlier about a margin decreasing and profitability on farms. Every interest rate reduction helps that. It helps put more income into the pocket of the farmers. So we're hoping with interest rate reductions, we can go in and reprice a lot of our borrowers to lower their interest rates, which, like I said, makes those margins higher on their families where they can make more money. So we want to get profitability back in the farm. That's through interest rates lowering, that's through inflationary expenses going down, markets returning through, there's been a lot of tariffs this past year. Some state stability in that area would help with the commodity prices. And just a general balancing of the interest rates, the commodity prices, and the inflation would be good in 26. There's also a farm bill year in 26, so we're looking and talking politically and trying to assist any way Farm Credit can assist in that arena. And then also working with our FSA and USDA partners to make sure that there's access to good interest rates and availability for funds through those government agencies that we rely on when the government is open and running.
Of course, we recently had an announcement out of the White House about I believe they're calling it a Farm Bridge program. It's $12 billion is what it sounds like that will go directly to the farmers, the producers in our nation. What do you know about that?
It's got a lot in it, and probably more than we could go into here in this forum, but I'd be glad to talk a little bit about it. It's a very robust expenditures, but it's much needed. The farming need that infusion of profitability and capital into their operations. The 1%, it affects the 1% of farmers. That's the silent minority that we represent that feeds the 99%. So it seems like a lot from a dollar standpoint, But the farm bill has been continued and extended and bridged, as you say, for many years. So it's a good expenditure that needs to revamp, and especially in times of uncertainty, like we talked about with inflation, with interest rates, every little bit helps the farmers to stay in production. Also keeps the infusion of young beginning farmers into production, which is much needed to feed the next generation of people.
Don't want to go too far or too deep into the weeds here, but I would like to get your opinion on a couple of different sectors in agriculture as we go into 2026, and kind of ask you about which of these sectors are the most economically resilient. We have grain production, we have poultry production, dairy production, beef cattle production. Of those, and of course horticulture, of those, which would you describe as resilient to swings in the economy?
Let's talk a little bit on each of those. All have proven to be very resilient. Dairy has a long history in Virginia. It's really, there was a purging of dairies in Virginia, consolidations in Virginia in the past, but you're seeing some stabilization in dairy operations now. A lot of that is the adaptive nature of the farmers towards technology. You're seeing robotic dairies, you're seeing more efficient dairies that can produce more profitability per cow. So you're seeing a lot of dairy resilience that's taking place that you haven't seen in the past. And a lot of it is just adaptability. The beef markets have been very, very resilient. The prices keep going up. It worries us to some extent that their bubble could be forming. We're very consultative with the borrowers. But the good news is those cattle farmers have really been able to build their capital position because those prices on that commodity have just continued to rise. We're seeing some poultry expansion, which is good news because you do get dated poultry houses and facilities. So you're seeing multiple integrators that are reaching out and starting to do some expansionary means in poultry, which is a good lead indicator of those markets stabilizing as well. Probably the most hurt commodity is the crops. And a lot of that has been not weather related this past year. It's been more of the tariffs that have been imposed, creating just uncertainty in those supply chains and the demand. We're looking at that as probably being the least resilient out of those. But, you know, we're hopeful that some of that will stabilize. We mentioned the farm bill and some other lack of inflation and interest rate stability.
Very good advice. And I want to thank you for taking the time to join us today.
Thank you, Jeff. I enjoyed our time together. Thank you.
Michael Allman, Chief Lending Officer with Farm Credit of the Virginias. More rural and agricultural news at our website, onthefarmradio.com. Our pearl of wisdom this weekend reminds us that the Ten Commandments. Well, have you ever noticed that the Ten Commandments they're not multiple choice? That's your pearl of wisdom. You're on the farm, and I'm Ish.